Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The fact that you are alive today is because of his mercies. Can somebody say amen? Because of his mercies, that is new every day, you are here. There's nothing I can do, nothing you can do without him. Without him, there's no touching, there's no seeing, there's no feeling, there's no eating. Amen? There is no breathing. All so many things we take for granted without him, we can do nothing. But through him, we can do all things. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to appreciate and thank you, your highness, for the opportunity you have for us to come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. We thank you for your mercies that are new upon us every day. Because of your mercies, we are here. Father, may we not take your mercies for granted. May we not take your favor for granted. May we not take this grace for granted. Father, Lord, as we approach sharing the word, I pray in the name of Jesus that I may decrease to nothing, that you may be lifted up in the name of Jesus. To you be all the glory. Break now, Lord, the word of life to us like you did the bread by the sea. Thou may eat and never thirst again. Thou may drink and never thirst again, to the glory of your name. And everybody said? Amen. And everybody said? Amen. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated if you like to. Hallelujah. This morning, the subject of my discussion, if you have a pen, you may want to write down. The disciples, can somebody do me a favor? Let me turn on these lights, please. These lights over here. The disciples talked to Jesus in Luke chapter, throughout the Gospels. He said, teach us to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Looks like we've addressed a lot of subjects about prayer. But why would the disciple ask Jesus, teach us to pray? So it means it's inherent in that verb that there's more to it than meets the natural eye. Can somebody say amen? Seriously. When you teach algebra, there's a methodology to it. Amen? It's as interesting to me that those words say, teach us to pray. We have talked in so many dimensions about prayer. And all that is true. We are building and building and building on this subject of prayer. More so as the goodness of God in our lives. If you've not been attending this Wednesday meetings, there's something about it. Amen? Hallelujah. We thank God for what God is doing. I promise us that each time I'm about your point to be here, I want to remind us of something. And you know what that is? There's a song I'm going to sing. How many remember that song? It's a hymn. Don't go empty-handed when you see Jesus. Don't go empty-handed. He has done so much for us. Amen. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with me to meet. go empty-handed in the name of Jesus. The song, that hymn, was by a man who had just accepted Jesus as a Savior 30 days. And he faced his death, and he composed that song. You have been around for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Witness for Jesus. Be an evangelist for Jesus. Every opportunity you get, do that. Amen. And Jesus told them in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, he said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father which art in heaven.'" Our Father which art in heaven. Our first dimension God is teaching here is, first and foremost, God, you have to recognize God as your Father. What do fathers do? They provide. That's why he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." As a father, he desires to give us daily what we need. Amen. Is that the only thing? No. There's an aspect of this fatherhood that Paul brings out in Galatians 4, 6, Romans 8, 15. He says, "Abba, Father." The spirit of adoption that calls us to call him Abba, Father. Paul was not repeating himself. Abba is like daddy. That nature of God is, and like us too who are dads, is loving, is endearing. Amen? At whatever, he just takes you the way you are. Amen? He loves you the way you are. He's endearing. The thing about that is if all you are to your child is daddy, 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 there are no boundaries, nothing like that, it's a huge, big mistake. So same thing with God. We approach God as our Father, who also disciplines us in that position of fatherhood, disciplines us. We see that in the scriptures, I think it's Hebrews, to prepare us for our destiny. If you give, as a dad, if you give your kids all the latitude they want, they'll be rotten. Amen? So we, as father, God also sets boundaries for us so that we approach him as father, daily bread and what have, and also as Abba. You read that in Galatians 4, 6, spirit of adoption. Whereby, of course, we approach God as Abba, Father. So, that's the first dimension Jesus taught us in this. Let's read. And verse 3, he said, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And he went on. In verse 5, he gives another aspect to this. And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves.'" Second dimension, to know God as a friend. To know him as your friend. So the scripture says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A lot of us say we have friends. As you get older, if you can list the friends that you have indeed, they probably not fit 5 of your fingers. Because a friend is a friend at all times. Through the good, the bad, is a confidant also. Amen? God wants to see, he wants us to approach him as a friend. In John, he says, "I no longer call you servants, but what? I call you friends." Say why? Because all that the Father has revealed to me, I revealed to you. In the position that we approach God as a friend, he begins to reveal secrets to us. And you say, have you ever had a revelation? And you're asking yourself, but why is God revealing this to me? Because he wants you as a friend. Abraham, the Lord was talking to Abraham about Lot. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Amen? Abraham is a friend of God. The Lord God will do nothing but revealed his secrets unto who? His servants, the prophet. As a friend, you know the heart of a friend. A true friend, you know his heart. You know the reasons why he's telling you stuff. Why he's revealing. In this position that God is leading us to approach him. Also among men, it is an intercessory ministry. Because in this verse, he says, a friend at midnight. This middleman friend didn't have what his other friend wanted. So he went to the other friend who he knew had the bread. He said, look, friend, so I can go to sleep. I have this friend, midnight friend, and he needs bread. Please help me out with this so I can go be with my family and sleep. That's the position of an intercessor. When we approach God in this manner as a friend, he begins to reveal to us his heart, his intent. Amen. You see, when Abraham was interceding for Sodom, he said, Lord, Lord, suppose there are 50 righteous people. Will you spare the nation? Will you spare? You know what God said? For you, my friend, I'm going to do it. Amen? Because of you, Abraham, because you are my friend, I'm going to do it. He said, for 45, for you, Abraham, because you are my friend, I'll do it. In this position, God wants you and I to know his heart. When Moses was another person like that, interceding for the people, he wasn't judgmental about their situation. Just say, mercy. You know, at a point in time, God wanted to say, look, I finished all these people and I'm going to establish a new nation through you, Moses. He said, what would the people say? That you're able to bring them out of Egypt and kill them here? He said, no. What will be said about you? See that in Genesis 32, 33, 34. Amen. I want to read the first thing God said about himself. Genesis. God just brought this to my mind now. It wasn't in any of my scriptures I wrote down. Genesis, I think it's 32. Moses was asking, say, I'd like to see your face, Lord. I'd like to see your face, Lord. The first thing God answered him, he said, you can't see my face and leave. He said to him, oh, what? Exodus 32. Thank you very much. Exodus 32. Bless your heart. Exactly. He said, I'm going to put you on a cliff here, and you won't see my face, but you're going to see my back. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, he's proclaiming himself. He said, the Lord God, first thing, merciful. Amen? Merciful. When God reveals situations to us as intercessors, his heart is not the heart, it's not judgment. It's mercy. God reveals in order to redeem. Amen? He reveals a situation in order to redeem the situation. So we approach him for, say, mercy's sake. Moses was saying, Lord, have mercy on these people. Abraham, have mercy on these people. They are your people. God wants us to see his heart of mercy when we begin to intercede for others. Amen. He's not willing that all should perish, but that people may come to saving grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the society we live today, people call judgment, judgment, judgment. God is saying, get to there. My heart is the heart of mercy. Mercy first. And God always makes a way when we hold on to this horn of mercy. That's why when they were building the ark, he put the mercy seat way on top. Hallelujah. So in this, we find that as intercessors, God wants us to approach him on behalf of others in a position of mercy. People could fail, things could happen, there could be a reason why this happened or that didn't happen. But Lord, let us hold on to him for mercy. For who and whatever. Amen. I remember there a few years ago, there were certain revelations that came out, that things that were going to happen here in Phoenix. Everybody remember that when we were in the old building. And the people who gathered and started praying. We came there sometimes 6 a.m. praying that mercy. And God, the Lord averted the judgment. See, you and I, in this church, God is placing us in a position to interfere in their fears in Phoenix, in the nation. If we take our rightful positions as intercessors, tribulation, challenges, war, nuclear disaster will be averted. Amen. You know, Abraham, he kept going. Say, if you ask, there were 25 people, there are 10 people. And then he stopped. Somebody said, maybe if he went to one, God would have spared Lot. Have you ever heard that? Maybe if he had just stopped at 5, maybe there would be 5 righteous people. But you know what? In the culture in which they lived, 10 was the minimum for a government of a law to be passed. As a church, GMI Church, we are ambassadors. We have an embassy representing the kingdom for which we, in the intercessory position God has placed us here, we can begin to bind on that and you've set loose. Amen? That is the position of the intercessor. A lot of us know this, but I'm going somewhere. So we approach God as a friend for the need of others. This is the position of an intercessor. Amen. In John 15:15, he says, I've called you no longer servants, but as what? Friends. As friend. God wants you to know him and approach him as a friend. When you have a friend, a real friend, you can tell him things, the secrets about yourself, and they'll be in a position of prayer that God should work a miracle for you. Others may not be so. Your story may become Arizona Republic, and the whole city knows this. That will not be your position in Jesus' name. I said that will not be your position in Jesus' name. You will not be a gossip. You'll be on your knees praying for others. Amen. Not to sit on the platform of judgment and passing bad news. I hate to pass bad news concerning anything. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to approach him. It's interesting, I'm saying, he said, the disciple says, teach us to pray. We now go to another position in Luke chapter 18. We've gone through this before. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always to pray and what? Not to faint. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. This is where I'm going. Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, this man, this judge, was a what? A wicked judge. His position of executing his judicial position was based on lining his pocket. Can you see that there? He was not a judge, he was not a righteous judge. Verse 5, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. She's going to wear me out. This is Jesus teaching about prayer. I'm going to say something that will interesting. God wants us to approach him as judge when dealing with an adversary. This is a position we need to understand a little better. Approaching God in position when you are dealing with an adversary. Jesus, when he was painting any picture on prayer, do you know that he never painted a picture of prayer in a battlefield? Amen? Do you know that? Never painted the picture of prayer. It was always like in a judicial setting. It was always like in a courtroom setting. Go check it out through the scriptures. And not Paul. He said, yeah, we war not against flesh and blood. Jesus didn't paint the picture of prayer in a battlefield. The man, Jesus, he painted the situation in a courtroom every time. I'll give you some references. Matthew 5:25, Luke 12:58. You can read yourself for brevity of time. Does that mean that there are no battles? Of course there are battles. Paul said we war not against flesh. We say put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the weary darts of the evil one. Amen? When dealing with an adversary, God wants us to approach him as judge. In the moral of this story in Luke chapter 18, the moral of the story is that if this woman under an adverse situation was able to get a wicked judge to get a verdict in her favor, how much us, you and I, the elect of God, to get a verdict in our favor because he's a just God. Amen? That is the moral of this story. It doesn't say that God is an unjust God. No.
Praise the Lord.
Let's look at this Luke chapter 18. The word adversary. Adversary. How do we define adversary? It's like an enemy, right? I went to look at the original Greek of the word adversary. It's in the concordance, Strong's Concordance, 476, with the roots on 1349. It's called antidikos. 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 Which, you know what it means? An opponent in a lawsuit. An opponent in a lawsuit. So if you now look at the scripture, 1 Peter 5, 8, it says what? Our adversary, say, be vigilant and sober. Right? Because your adversary, the devil, we war not against flesh and blood. The devil is your adversary. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now put it in context. Your adversary, who has your opponent, that's an opponent in a courtroom setting. He cannot war against you and I as believers, except he has gotten a verdict to that effect. Except you and I have given him a reason. Amen. Now we're good. This is interesting. Look at a courtroom setting. You have a prosecutor on one side and they are building a case against somebody. What happens? Oh, he did this and he did this and the case keeps piling up. And then the judge gives a verdict. It's after that you can now go to war. The devil, like a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom. If he could devour everybody, if he could divide, had the right to divide everybody, all of us would be dead. But he doesn't have that ability to devour everybody. Why? He doesn't have that ability, except we give him the privilege to do that. And how do we do this? That is the point. See, this scripture, it says an adversary is what? An opponent in a lawsuit, in a courtroom setting. I said every time the Lord taught on prayer, the picture he drew was in a courtroom setting. Can we read some of them? Can we read some of them? This is yes. This is no. Hallelujah. Let's read some of them, so that you will either agree with me or not disagree with me. Let's look at that one in Matthew 5:25. For the sake of our young kids here and those of us somewhere ago who might not really look at Matthew 5:25, I think it is. This is red letter. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift, verse 23, to the altar, and thou remember that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come. Verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to hold the judge. And the judge delivered to the officer. You see, it's a courtroom setting. You do not go to war without getting a verdict.
I said the word advashemeth was anti-dikos. Two words, anti, an opponent, against. Dikos, right. When the devil gets a judgment against us, that's the only time we see a battle ensuing. What happened to Job? He was fine. The Lord said to the adversary, have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen him? Do you have a case against him? People were saying. He said, doesn't serve you for nothing. He was building a case. When the case was built, challenges happened in his life. What case was he building against Job? The Bible said the Lord has honored his word above his names. When you and I, as Christians, as believers, begin to deviate intentionally through errors of a commission or commission and stuff like that, we'll go into more details. He begins to build a case. That's why Jesus warns us. Go settle. Don't give the devil an opportunity to build a case. You maybe have been doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. The Lord's hand, quote unquote, so to speak, becomes tied. Amen? Not that he can't do anything, but the Lord honors his word. So sometimes we pray and keep praying for certain situations and nothing's happening. And things are going bad, from bad to worse. And we think, oh, what am I doing? Maybe it's not God's timing for this miracle, for that miracle. Is it possible that he's built a case? And unless the case is unraveled, we'll still be in that situation. When the case is unraveled, then the results come speedily. Let's take the case of Job. Job feared God and everything. Every time his kids went to have a party, he made a sacrifice. Amen? Say, peradventure his kids had done this or done that, even in their hearts. Was he saying, trying to bribe God not to punish his children or turn a blind eye, for lack of a better word, to the sins of his children? And he went through a tribulation. Challenges. And as he prayed, at the end of it, the Lord restored everything. Over and over, if the devil doesn't have a case against you, against me, we have no battle. But when he has a case and a verdict is given in the spiritual, then things start happening. Say, why? Why is this happening? I will keep praying, and nothing's happening. When dealing with an adversary, then we approach God as judge. Amen? When dealing with an adversarial situation, we approach God as judge. And the only way we approach him as the righteous God, of whom we are his seed and his elect. Amen? by virtue, by reason of the blood. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Revelation chapter 12. We see the same word. Revelation chapter 12. I think. Revelation chapter 12, verse 16. Verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. Say, and I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The word accuser, again, check that the concordance, is categoras, Strong's 2725. You know what it is? It says it's a complainant in a court of law. So an adversary, when he gets a judgment against us as believers, that's the only time. That's the time. I won't say only time. That's the time we see challenges happening. One of the times challenges start happening. I'll start praying, Lord, have mercy. But when we approach God as our judge, the righteous judge, who is interceding, not just interceding for us, we can approach that mercy seat, that judgment seat, with him on our side by reason of the blood, everything can be unraveled. Every judgment against us can be unraveled. And the agents that are deployed to go carry out the bidding of the judgment, they can be reversed. Amen. Is somebody with me? So we see in these three dimensions, Jesus was praying, was teaching us how to pray. Pray to him as what? Father, for our own needs. As an intercessor, as a friend, for the needs of others, or even the nations at large. And then as judge, under an adversarial position. When you are dealing with an adversary, you can now come to God as a righteous judge to plead your case. Amen. And the only way he will plead your case, you are known by him. You are his elect. You have taken the first step of being under the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is God. This is the way Jesus was teaching them to pray. There are other things, praying and stuff like that go on. We see it throughout the scripture. The picture Jesus painted when teaching on prayer was usually always in a courtroom setting. Praise the Lord. Now, how does the devil build a case against us? In brief, there could be a zillion, 10 different categories. Sin, personal sin. What is sin? To miss the mark. Jesus will not turn a blind eye to your sin or my sin. Amen. But he has given us an advocate. 1 John chapter 2 with the Father. Repent quickly. That's why he tells us, don't go to bed angry. Settle up. So don't give the devil what? An opportunity to build a case against you or against me. How many times do we fail in this department? A lot of us fail. Am I right or am I wrong? As believers, we fail, and the devil starts building a case. It could be whatever. In Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, three broad categories that David referred to: sin, transgression,
and iniquity. Sin, you miss the mark. What is transgression?
There's not a clear line, sin, transgression. But each time some of these things are mentioned, they are more in certain categories than others. They are all sin, don't get me wrong. Transgression or trespass. What is trespass? In real estate, trespassing is going to somebody's territory. Amen? That is, it has to do with doing stuff. I pass this line. Some of us, we are playing in church. We are playing church. Somewhere else, maybe at work, maybe at play. You are neither here nor there. Don't let the devil build a case against you. See, say the love of the Lord is long suffering, not willing that any should perish. Amen? He's so long suffering with us. He's so patient with us. We keep doing it and doing it. And maybe, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter until he gets caught up in it. And then we start going to war. Then you can bind in and lose that. But the devil already built a case. Now we have to approach God as judge to get it unraveled. And when it's unraveled by the blood, the result comes speedily. In those times, his word, the Lord has honored his word above all of his names. Amen. The Lord, his word is so important. Start praying for miracles and miracles and miracles. The Lord exalts his word right up here. So that whatever he says, he means whatever he says. When we trespass, we give the devil an opportunity to build a case against us as believers. Are you getting something? In the name of Jesus, every case will be unraveled in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lastly, iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity. See, we are all results of the iniquity of who? Adam. Were you there? I wasn't there when it was done. But we are bearing consequences. Jesus in the book said, I visited the iniquities of the fathers to the third and to the fourth generation. And on. So iniquity has to do with sin in the bloodline. In the book of Nehemiah and Daniel, when they were praying and interceding for the various things that happened, that even they were not there, they were praying for what? They included themselves in the sins of their fathers. The sins their fathers committed was now haunting them. Is somebody with me? Do you agree with me? Anybody here? It was haunting them. Some of the things that are happening in some nations, Africa, sins of our fathers. Iniquities of our fathers. But we thank God that the Lord said, the fathers will not eat sour grapes, and the teeth of the children be on edge. By virtue and the reason of the blood, that will not be your portion and my portion in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. He will not visit the sins of your fathers upon you. Because he said, cursed is he that hung on the cross He was nailed to the cross and he carried all my sins, your sins, with him there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when the Lord sent us to the earth, he had a purpose. He had a destiny for us. Psalm 139, verse, I think 6 or 16. As you came in through that, through the bloodline of sin, things start happening. And if care is not taken, one of the things the devil does is distract you from fulfilling that which was written of you, the volume of books that was written of you. Amen. That is the devil's strategy. But by virtue of the blood, all this, I want to get to that scripture. Verse, I think Psalm 139, verse 16. Could you pull that up, 16? It says, Than eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Jeremiah chapter, I think it's Jeremiah chapter 5, the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and I've ordained and called you a prophet. You and I have a purpose and a destiny. Before we came into this iniquitous sin bloodline, there's a purpose for which God sent you to this earth. And you have to fulfill your purpose. That is success. It's all in time. There's nothing like seeing him face to face. And you hear those accolades. Well done. Because you have fulfilled the purpose for which he sent you to earth. When it was said concerning Jesus, a book was given to him. I think it's Luke chapter 20. You remember he went to the temple and the book was given to him. He said, this day is this fulfilled. All along the way, it was fulfilled that which was written of him in the volume of books. Hallelujah. You will fulfill that which was written and is written concerning you in the volume of books, no matter the line that you come through, in Jesus' name. That is the purpose why Christ went to the cross. It was Luke chapter 4, verse 21. The other scripture I was quoting was Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. And the other one was Psalm, which we read up there. Psalm 139, verse 16. In the days of David, there was some that happened in the days of Saul. In 2 Samuel 21, there was famine in the land. And 70 years later, David was suffering the consequences. Iniquitous roots. God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He himself bore our shame. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Do according to his word. Follow after righteousness. Amen. Let us pray. Peradventure, you are here this morning. The Lord doesn't know, or you don't know this Jesus
we are talking about. If a roll call was called today, would you be in the number that he would say, well done, son, well done, daughter? He went all the way at the cross for you. If you have not accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, all these privileges, you have no privilege with him. You become a ping pong in the hands of the devil. If you like to give your life to Christ, here's an opportunity. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Amen. As far as east is from the west, he's paid the ultimate price for you. It's not happenstance you are in this church today. It's not happenstance. This may be the only gospel you have the opportunity to hear. Don't turn a deaf ear to this message. Jesus died that you may not die. He went to hell and whooped the devil, bringing the good news so that you don't have to go to hell. Amen. If you'd like to give your life to Christ Jesus, at the count of three, are you coming to church because your parents forced you to church? On the count of three, I want you to raise your hands up. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Just raise your hand. Look, you will stand alone when it's all said and done. Father and mother will not be there. You will stand alone. Let me tell you that. You will stand alone. If you think mom and dad will be there, you're making a mistake. You will give account of your stewardship, of what you know, of what you have heard. And may these words that we speak stand on your side and not against you in Jesus' name. I want you to lift your hands up real quick if you'd like to. He says, if you are ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. If you are not ashamed of me, see, I will not be ashamed of you. Hallelujah. As if your hands are up, I want you to stand up real quick. Just stand up. Stand up. It doesn't matter. You will be alone when that day comes. You will be alone. I guarantee it. And I'll be alone too. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, if you have been dealing with situations, please don't, situations that's beyond you, and you'll be praying, say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I come before you to be my judge in this matter. Maybe you have a situation on your hand that is beyond you. You want him to step in the boat. Approach him as your judge. The righteous judge. Amen. I want you to come down here. Real quick. Just come down here. You are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Just come down here. This is a family. We are family here. We are all family here. Hallelujah. Come on down. Come on down. If you raise your hand up, just come on down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on down. Those who raise your hands up, come on. Don't be ashamed of him. If you're ashamed of him, be ashamed of you. I wouldn't want God to be ashamed of me. Oh, I'm just telling you the truth. I will not want that to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, thank you, Jesus. They sit here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ha kasatiri bashindiri bakalo. Parahasindiri bakoshka tatirasi andari bakori bashiri. I want those of you who have known Christ for a few days, for a few years, I want you to please stand up and begin to pray. Please stand up. Any pastors in the house, sisters, brethren, we have now approached the throne of grace, that their names will be written in the book, that the purpose for which the king died, that they fulfill their destinies in the name of Jesus. That every and all weapon fashioned against them will not prosper in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We exalt your name. We give you honor, glory, majesty. We want to thank you for the saving strength you are giving us, that we can approach the throne of grace by reason of the blood and obtain a clean slate. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother, my sisters here, Yolanda, Ivan, this young man who is not ashamed of the gospel. Father, Lord, let your purposes begin this day in their lives, in the name of Jesus. Let the purpose for which they were sent and brought forth on this earth, let it begin to materialize in the name of Jesus. Every weapon fashioned against them, in the name of Jesus, will not see the light of day. The dew of heaven will not alight upon it. The sun will not shine upon it. In the name of Jesus, you shall grow up as stalwarts in the palace of the king. In the name of Jesus, the evil one, his machinations, his accusations against you, Michael, against you, Lincoln, against you, David, against all of you young girls, in the name of Jesus, they will not materialize in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, I pray for this young lady. Oh, rakate riba sende riba koli. Oh, rashe kataro busitande rikatoli. Father, Lord, as they have made your name, their high tower in the hour of need, oh, be thou there for them. In situations where they're dealing with an adversary, and we all from time to time have situations that seem overwhelming. Father, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus against every accusation upon these ones, against every ordination and plans of the enemy, upon all of them. Father, every executed covenant, every executed pronouncement that the enemy is deploying, that he has deployed to bring to naught your preordained divine appointments in their lives. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that they be redeployed. That they be redeployed in the name of Jesus. According to my word this morning, every pronouncement that the devil has taken on to bring to naught in the fulfillment of their destinies, Father, I pray and I rip it up in the name of Jesus by reason of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, Lord, and I prophesy life unto each and every one of these ones in the name of Jesus. I prophesy upon them life and healing, fulfillment of purpose, fulfillment of destiny in the name of Jesus. Hear my voice, that which the Lord has preordained for you, the enemy will not eat in your heart and on your tables in the name of Jesus. In the table of your heart, you hear him speaking to you. Hearing is the way. Follow it. I pray in the name of Jesus, you remember this day, the God of your fathers, you not stray for it. And may you grow according to the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, that you know him more, that you will serve him in the name of Jesus. When the enemy comes like a roaring lion, like a roaring flood. I pray the Spirit of Christ raise up a standard to your defense. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name. All honor, all glory, all dominion and majesty be ascribed unto you, thou King of kings, the Lord of lords, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, in the name of Jesus, and it will not be wiped off. It will not be wiped out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. I want you guys to lift up your hands. Say, I give you all the glory. The glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry we ran a little late, a little longer, but I think